The Chuck I'm talking about is Chuck Sternberg. He is with Big Muddy Hemp Farms, but he's also got a lot of other stuff going on. I'm a big fan of what you do, Chuck, and you know the way you support Southern Illinois, in particular flight and aviation at the airport and the air shows. I know you're always supporting those programs.
Oh, yeah.
And the races.
Yeah, we had for, with Big Muddy Brewing, we had the Big Muddy Air Race. So that was always fun,
right?
You know, every year.
Well, I'm a big fan of you supporting those programs.
Yeah.
You've always been prominent in that way, and I'm big fan of what they do and big fan of you making them able to do it. Carla Gage, on the other hand, she's a scientist, so I like all scientists. She's from the Department of Plant Sciences and Ag Systems and also Plant Biology. And you've been helping Chuck in his project, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's been a wonderful collaboration. We've gotten a chance to grow some of Chuck's plants for Big Muddy. And that's been wonderful just to see, you know, this is the first time we've had any experience with this plant.
Hemp, Big Muddy Hemp Farms. There's a lot of uses for hemp. But what's your farm, Big Muddy Farms? What are you trying to accomplish right now?
Well, right now we're just bringing in a lot more different varieties of genetics of seeds from out west to see how they do in our microclimate. And that's what we're working with SIU on right now. But, the hemp is good for, you know, most people think of CBD for hemp, but there's also the other aspects, the fiber, which is really good for, you can make paper out of it, you can make batteries, you can make, it's unbelievable, hempcrete,
well,
you know, concrete.
Here's the thing, I don't think of oil the first thing. I think this CBD oil thing is just one little thing. When I look at hemp as an industrial product, I think, you know what happened to me? I visited friends in Iowa, family. And their farmland was a former hemp farm. World War II, rope. Couldn't get rid of it. They chop it off the ditch bank. You could spray it. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to put some of this in the trunk. And they're going, it's not going to do you any. I'm going to put some in the trunk anyway. Right? And they're going, you're a big dummy. This is what it's for. But there are. I mean, you just ran down a miniature list. I mean, fireproof industrial insulation.
Yeah, everything. The fiber is actually 10 times stronger than steel, so they're right up there with carbon fibers, and it's a natural product. So, you know, carbon fibers takes a lot of chemicals that are harmful to the, you know, to the environment possibly compared to the hemp fibers. So there's a lot of research that's going to be turned loose now that it's legal.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this in particular, Carla, because the one component here. If I'm in Iowa growing rope, that's one thing, and paper. But if I'm growing hemp and it's made into CBD oil, then I've got a whole new criteria of things that are important. From being able to grow it in the microenvironment, which is his concern, to get a good crop, herbicides, pesticides, in a product that is ultimately going to be condensed and consumed for the human body. You've got a different set of problems that you have to solve.
That's absolutely true. At SIU, our program is going to encompass all commodities that you can get from the plant. So we're looking at the production of fiber, the production of seed, as well as the production of CBD oil. We know that with the CBD oil, for instance, the terpenes, the other plant compounds within the plant matter if you're using this as a medicine. So one of the things that we're looking at is the effect of the environment as a whole on the plant and the production of those compounds. So I'm working with Dr. Aldwin Antarola in the Department of Plant Biology. He's providing the analytical support to test for THC, CBD, and terpenes so that we can expose the plant to a variety of different conditions and then figure out how it's responding and what chemistry it's producing.
And to get the most growth.
Absolutely.
We were just kidding before we went on the air that, you know, weed sciences, which is actually her area of expertise, Carla's area of expertise. But see, this is another thing. When you grow up on the farm, you grow up with the term, it grows like a weed. This is a good thing, as long as you're not trying to keep it out of the field. Because, look, Chuck says, look, all right, we got the CBD oil of it. Now look at what all this mass we have left, this biomass we have left. It's a usable product. And we can make paper out of it. Look at the time it takes to grow a tree, and look at how long it takes to grow a weed, and how fast you can have this up to going. That's, I think, one of the parts that has me excited, all the things it can do and the pressure it can take off national forests. There was an actual article not long ago, Canadian forests are being chopped down for American toilet paper. Maybe you saw it. But, you know, this is, I think, the other area, this secondary area where you've got a lot of potential.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they say 1 acre of the hemp will produce the same as 4 acres of pine trees. And it takes the pine trees, you know, 20 years to grow versus 1 year with hemp. So it's like a, it's, yeah, well, no question about it.
Chuck was saying, I was thinking you get 2 seasons, grow seasons in a year. Can you get 2 grow seasons out of marijuana or hemp in a year? Or just one out of the summer?
It depends if you have an indoor. They're getting 3 now with the combination of indoor growing facilities that they have in, you know, down in Kentucky and some other places, California. But, you know, now that our state is, it's, you know, since the first of the year, it's illegal. Now I'm sure there'll be a lot of those popping up around here, too.
You're first down here, as far as I can tell, right?
We've got some partner farms, and I know they've been trying to get crops in up north, but there's just been so much rain. It's absolutely ridiculous for any kind of a crop this year. It's like a record rainfall.
What about you, though?
We've got the stuff that's up on top of the hills is doing fine, but the bottom of the hills, you know, just like the regular weeds at the bottom of the hills, they're in the water, so they're not even growing that well.
Now, how many acres you got? How many acres in hemp you have?
Just starting out with a few small, you know,
test plots.
Yeah, like 5 acres total, maybe 5-6 acres combined with the other farmers we're working with. However, there's places in Kentucky and out west they're doing, you know, thousands of acres. It just blows my mind the volume and the demand that's shot up. Yeah, you know, Levi's.
And then you just touched on something. Chuck Sternberg is joining us, Big Muddy Hemp Farms. The demand from who to get?
Well, for the last few years, Levi's has been buying their hemp from Canada. Now they're excited because they can deal with U.S. farmers because it's perfectly legal as of, you know, the first.
And they're
year.
Using it so, in their genes?
Yes, yeah. Their genes are sold out right now, the hemp genes. But they developed a new process for making it into a cotton-like fiber versus the stronger, stiffer hemp traditional Levi's that were made, you know, 100 years ago.
Well, whenever I saw the first hemp shopping bags, they were like they were made out of straw.
Yeah,
they were
yeah.
very unpleasant.
Right, right.
To the feel, to the hand, anyway.
Yeah.
Durable, but still feels like a bag made out of steel wool.
Right, right. So,
Who else when it comes to demand? Because this is the thing I'm really curious about, Carla and Chuck both. We've got recreational marijuana coming online. We've got hemp farms coming on. You can be excited as you want, but you got to have seeds. And up until just a short time ago, that was illegal. Seed production when you're a farmer in corn, you've got choices,
right.
and decades to build on. Not the case here. Carla?
Sure, yeah. Well, we had a challenge obtaining seeds this season. It was partly because of the legal agreements. We still,
About the federal government?
No, actually, to purchase any seed, really, you know, you have to protect the intellectual property of the person that produces the seed. And some agreements are open, meaning that you can do whatever you want with the seed and with the plants. You could grow the plants for seed yourself, and you could sell those seeds. But some of the agreements that we've signed prohibit us from producing seed and selling them. So we have to be careful with the materials that we use and follow the rules as those go.
Right. Because you've made a deal. And you don't want to, this is mine, and I'm letting you use this for research, but you can't let this out on the open market. This is my product.
Absolutely. We just got some of our hemp for seed planted. And that's, you know, Chuck was talking about the weather this season. It is definitely suboptimal. We're not going to get a very big harvest. If we wanted to produce those seeds and sell them, we probably will not be able to produce very much this season. So that's going to be another challenge going forward.
I went over to your website and I saw different kinds of strains. Not even going to begin to try to pronounce the strains. But all I read was sold out, sold out, sold out on your strains of seeds. You're sold out of everything that you have?
Yeah, there was a nationwide shortage this year. It's unbelievable. But, yeah, it's because all the states that are going, you know, you've got all 50 states. It's legal now, so everybody's jumping into it. But yeah, I don't know I think there's still going to be a heck of a demand this fall because it seems like with the weather, a lot of people are kind of dragging getting a crop in there this year. So the volumes are, you know, I was talking to one of the guys out west who's a broker. He just sold, I think, like 1 million pounds of the CBD hemp to somebody in the cosmetics industry. So I was like, wow, that's a whole other industry I never thought about. I kept thinking, you know, it was more just medical type, you know. A lot of pharmaceutical companies are doing research because they can legally. They're getting federal money. They're able to give universities federal money. because it's legal. The hemp is legal, less than 0.3% THC delta 9. That's the definition.
Yeah, all right. It's delta totally 9 tetrahydrocannabinol, yeah. The good stuff, it's, the fun stuff.
It's different than the medical or the recreational.
And the Department of Agriculture is going to come down to your farm periodically, and they're going to test and make sure you stay below that threshold.
Correct, yes. They'll be doing a test all over because it's still semi-controlled, so... as far as that goes, the farming of it.
All right. You got started in this very early. How hard was it? When I talked to the director of agriculture, you know, we were talking, I think the first 24 hours, 423 applications were placed for one growth. And then I think something along the line of sales, there's two different areas that licenses are given.
Yes, there's that you can be the farmer or the processor.
Right.
So one is for farming it and one's for processing.
You've gotten both?
And the processing. No, we're just a farmer, farming right now. But we may partner with some other processors. We're not sure if we want to start that ourselves. But we're looking to do strain-specific, possibly, processing of certain CBDs. And,
good. I should ask this. When you talk about processing, I see a difference, and I wonder if the state of Illinois does, processing for human consumption CBD oil as well as processing to make tomorrow's newspaper.
Right. The oil, you'll have to have complete COAs, which are called Certificate of Analysis, where they study for heavy metals, everything, because the plant might be drawing some of that out of the soil.
Right.
So especially with some of the new trials that the pharmaceutical companies, they're procuring several pounds here and there because they want to start doing these trials. They're probably going to be 2-3 year trials on, you know, combinations with specific chemotherapy treatments. There's supposed to be a lot of positive results from Israel's been doing a lot of studies on that, you know, for the last 8 years or so. But
it's
now,
interesting you mentioned that because I'm reading marijuana consumption rates, and Israel's number two behind the United States.
Oh, really?
Males 24 to 64 years of age, number one marijuana user in Israel, only behind the United States and in front of Jamaican males. Came from the U.S. UN World Drug Report issued on Friday. The acceptance, there's always been the counterculture. The widespread acceptance, when the door kicked open on this, people were ready to jump. People like Chuck Sternberg, you did not wait, pal. You didn't go, well, let me see how the water, let me stick my, you jumped in.
Yeah. Well, it was the fact that it was hemp, not medical, not recreational. It took a while for us to get the rules in place here in Illinois just for the hemp. Now, for the recreational and that, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but they're going to need way more rules as far as I'm concerned, because you've got stuff that's at 2 or 3%, you've got stuff that's at 30%. So it needs to be regulated, I think, more like the alcohol industry, where you've got your Bud Light or, you know, you got your Everclear.
You got beer and you got Everclear.
Yeah. So,
and there's a variety in between there.
There needs to be, or some additional taxation maybe on the higher, you know.
After my experience with Everclear, I'd have a tendency to want to back you up on that.
Yeah,
that's pretty
Because
pretty
you're going to have more problems with that kind of
than
stuff
you are than
they ever will with any of the hemp products. So.
With this biomass issue, there are a lot of options. You get the oil out. Is that a dangerous process, extraction?
There's several different processes. There's the alcohol extractions, the CO2, and then the butane or propane, I believe. So I'm not real familiar with all those processes, but there's definitely safeguards that you have to have in place for all of those.
Going to IESO and seeing their distilling process for edibles, and noting everybody was pretty common, and you know, but I was kind of curious about that after talking with law enforcement. I know they've had some concerns when it comes to extracting wax, dabs, as they call them.
Yeah.
So your thought here, Carla, when it comes to moving forward and what you're seeing, this happening fast, and I think we're playing catch-up. And if it hadn't been for some of the research that had been ongoing at SIU, I can't help but wonder where some people like Chuck would be at without that knowledge base that's been preserved there.
Yeah, absolutely. Things are happening so quickly, it's really hard to keep up. But this season, you know, we're really looking at basic agronomy. This is a crop that, you know, people knew how to grow a long time ago. We're relearning the basics with new technology. you know, we have a lot of new agricultural technologies and we're not quite sure how things are going to all fit together. For example, you know, you mentioned herbicides and pesticides. Well, some of those fields are going to have carryover issues where residues from last season may affect the ability of that hemp to establish and grow this season. So that's something that my lab wants to look at. We're also interested in weed control. So I am a weed ecologist. I'm interested in how the weeds are going to compete with this crop and how we can control weeds in a crop where there are no herbicides or pesticides labeled.
It's interesting when I listen to you talk is because the density, being a former farmer, you've got cornrows, you can go in and weed the early portion of the years or whatever until they get high or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But hemp is grown very densely in the field.
It is. You know, supposedly, and you know, I'm still gaining experience with this, supposedly if you get it started and the canopy closes and not a lot of light reaches the surface of the soil, then you won't have a lot of weed problems within your crop because of that density. But if you don't get a good start on your crop and the weeds start competing early on, then you may end up having a field of weeds that, you know, outcompete your hemp.
Makes perfect sense. Wish you were my future Farmers of America teacher. I'd understand that better. What do you hope's next for you, Chuck, when it comes to this? You're starting, because it's weird, right? You started in a brewery, right? You had your own brewery.
Right, yeah.
You could compare that to what other brewers are doing, marketing, prices. There's a system. We're all standing on the shoulders of giants when it comes to brewery, right? You kind of know there's other things. And you're Lewis and Clark on this deal.
Well, there's a lot of guys out there this year that are farming here in Illinois. I think, like you said, there's hundreds of farmer permits, too, as well as the processor.
I think it was about three to one when it came to processing. Growth, number one, processing, number two.
Yes. So we'll just see how this season goes. It's been challenging because of all the rain, and now we're supposed to be wetter than normal the next, you know, 6 to 10 day outlook.
Right.
So it looks like we're getting a little break right now.
Here's your first question. You've got a research database on the new stock in relationship to a wet year.
Absolutely.
This is usable data.
It is.
It's
definitely
not good for Chuck, but it is usable for information later because Chuck can build on that information, so you've got a new data set.
That's absolutely true. You know, we can figure out, of all the varieties that Chuck's planted, which of those are going to tolerate these wet conditions better than the others.
And I'm more than a little bit curious. And I know you are too, Chuck.
Yes, yeah.
The future has got a few more interesting. Hemp ink. When you start going down the list, there's a lot of different things here that people do not. Plastics.
Yep.
A fire retardant and really brilliantly done. I watched some of the videos on it last night where the guy's putting a blowtorch on it and it doesn't absorb the heat and it doesn't burn on. They need to make space shuttle shields out of this.
Yeah.
Or tiles.
Great insulator, too.
An insulator, too.
Well, so, Henry Ford made that car, I think it was in the 30s or 40s, all out of hemp. His plan was to use the hemp oil, actually, to run it like a diesel.
Wow, didn't know that.
There's a video on YouTube. You can see him taking a sledgehammer and giving it to other people, just hitting as hard as they can, not a dent. So he was way ahead of his time back then.
We turned our back on a great many other things about the possibilities, and now they're here again. I'm really curious about how Illinois farmers, you know, diversification. I've known farmers that said, no, that's a good hill. We're going to start growing grapes there. I've seen this. And I can remember when soybeans, this really dates me, soybeans were kind of a new thing. We needed it for crop rotation. When I was on the farm, we grew wheat and corn. And then suddenly we started growing soybeans. I'm asking Granddad, what this round stuff? He says, Tomboy, we're going to feed this to cows later, all right? But, you know, I see that same idea out there that right now a farmer's going, I can diversify, I can make more money, I can help secure my future. That's what I feel is the real hemp probability. I'm not talking about recreational marijuana. Industrial use, a lot of farmers, once these doors start opening, that farmers, family farms, who need to secure their future and financial future, this is an option that they're going to be looking at.
I believe so, too. We need a new crop. And, you know, going back to the weed control issues, we see herbicide resistance just continuing to increase in occurrence and frequency. So if we put more things in rotation, that's more pressures than herbicides on those weeds. So we can maybe slow the evolution of herbicide resistance with more crops in rotation. But we have a lot of obstacles to overcome before we make this a profitable commodity for our growers. You know, we need, for instance, we need a fiber processing plant within roughly about 50 miles or so of the fields where the hemp is produced in order to make it profitable. So we need to see some infrastructure now. Now that this the way has been cleared with legalization, we need other people that are willing to invest to come in and step in to help us build the infrastructure now.
So that's next.
That's next.
I know this Chuck guy's always into new stuff. We should talk to him.
We should.
Chuck's going, I got my hands full. Thank you very
there
much.
There is a fiber plant going in, I think, south of Paducah, but that's probably just a little bit too far.
I did hear there was one going on. And yeah. I was, and last time I was over in Cave and Rock, one of the guys that come across on the ferry said he'd heard they were building one over there somewhere, too.
Yeah. Hopefully we don't get too far behind here.
Yeah, because we're already far behind. We're playing catch-up now.
Yeah.
Chuck Sternberg is joining us this morning, Big Muddy Hemp Farm. Chuck, it's good to see you. I'm a big fan of all the work and the support you do for area events. And Carla Gage, she's with SIU in plant soils and ag systems and also plant biology. It's really good to meet you too, Carla.
Thank you.
Tell Karen Midden I said hi, would you?
I will. Thank you.
Great researcher over there doing a lot of work to help people. I'm a really big fan of what Karen's been doing here.
Absolutely.
Too.
She's been incredibly supportive of our cannabis science program.
Yeah,
so
big fan of yours now, too.